You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, first chapter of the Bible, first book of the Bible. I'm going to begin in verse 2. And it says this. This is the account of Jacob. When Joseph was 17 years old, he was tending the flock of his brothers, the son of his father's wives, Bilhah and Zilpah. And he brought their fathers a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. He made a robe of many colors. When Joseph's brothers saw their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him, and they could not speak a kind word to him. Then Joseph had a dream. When he told his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to my dream. When we were binding sheaves of grain in a field, and suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood upright, and while your sheaves were gathered around, bowed down to mine." They said this, verse 8, "Do you intend to reign over us?" his brother asked. "Will you actually rule us?" So they hated him even more because of his dream. Someone say dream. And his statements, verse 9. Then Joseph had another dream. Turn to your neighbor and say another dream. And he told it to his brothers. "Look," he said, "I had another dream. This time the moon and the sun and 11 stars were bowing down to me." He told his father and brothers, but his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you've had? Will your mother and brothers and I actually come and bow down to you on the ground before you?" Verse 11, and his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept it in mind what he had said. This morning I came to tell you, when you partner with the will of God, you enter the supernatural. The title of this message and the word of 2021 is supernatural. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we say have your way. You are the guest of honor. We say do what you want to do. Say what you want to say. Holy Spirit, we don't make room for you. We give you the entire room. So I pray right now that you would breathe your spirit. Your logos would become rhema. It would become alive. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would give us ears to hear, hearts to receive, minds to understand what your spirit is saying. Lord, I thank you that no one came to hear me, but we all came to hear you. Lord, I declare right now in Jesus' mighty name that there's no spirit that's welcome here besides the Holy Spirit. So we say, fear, you have to go. Holy Spirit, come, rule and reign in this place. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in this community. We say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Teach us about your supernatural. And all God's people said amen and amen. I want to give a warning that a prophetic word is not a guarantee that something's going to happen. A prophetic word is an invitation for you to partner with the perfect will of God. So a lot of people will get a prophetic word and they'll stand back with their arms crossed and their hearts hard. And they will say, well, I'll just see if this comes to pass. Well, you already missed it. You already passed it by. It did not pass you by. A prophetic word is something that you steward. A prophetic word is something that you take care of. It's something that will produce fruit if you partner with it. And so this morning, you have an opportunity to partner with the prophetic word. And I want to bring to remembrance how important this is. The elders go away every single year, and we pray over this house and the word that God would say over this house. And last year, he said it would be a year of altars where we would build altars in our home. How many remember that? And we didn't know in May in the previous year that the entire world would shut down and that we would need altars in our own home. Then the Lord came back and said we were going to thrive and not survive. And that is exactly what this house has done. They told me before the service, the last meal that we did this year is we did 52 million meals to our community in the middle of a pandemic. See, you can either partner what the news tells you your life will look by, like, and sit back and wait for a stimulus, or you can partner with God's word and what he is saying that contradicts and it supersedes anything that the world will tell you. So the Lord spoke over our house, and if God spoke over this house and you're a member of this church, it means it's a word over your house. And the word is this, will be a year of the supernatural. Someone say supernatural. Supernatural is relating to or proceeding from an order of existence beyond the visible, observable to the universe, being much more than the natural or normal. Turn to your neighbor and say, what'd he say? Let's simplify it. It means this, the supernatural is beyond your ability. If it's beyond your ability, it just became supernatural. The supernatural defies natural laws. The supernatural is what you can't do in yourself. The supernatural is when no one can take the credit. The supernatural is when it scares you because it's so big, it can only be God. The supernatural requires faith. See, because if you view God through a natural lens, you'll never experience the supernatural in God. If you can do it in your own strength, it doesn't take God, and it's not supernatural. See, many of you are not thinking big enough because you think and you dream in the natural. You make plans and try to figure out how you can do it. The supernatural is when God gives you a dream that only he can do. The supernatural, listen to this, is super spiritual. Can I just pass to you for a second? Quit saying dumb stuff like, I don't want to be over spiritual. Because you heard a carnal Christian say it one time and it sounded super spiritual, but really it's the opposite of that. So we say stuff like, I don't want to be super spiritual, or I don't want to be weird. Basically what you don't want to be associated with someone that's weird. So you say, I don't want to be super spiritual. But I'm telling you, people are weird on their own without spirituality. Some people drive their car and wear a mask when they're by themselves. I'm like, homie, you can't give it to yourself. And the mask ain't gonna help you that much anyway. Some people are weird on their own. But we say stuff like, I don't wanna be over spiritual. So what are you saying? You wanna be under spiritual? So let me get this straight. You believe that God, the Holy Spirit, impregnated a virgin girl. She gave birth to the sinless Savior who lived for 33 years, never sinned, died on the cross, conquered death and hell, rose from the grave, ascended to heaven, is coming back for you and I, but you don't want to be over spiritual. So help me what we're really talking about here. No, what people mean is they want to live in the natural. You know what's scary about the supernatural? It takes faith. You know what's scary about the supernatural is you don't have confidence in yourself because it's not you. But I'm so grateful that the word says that when I am weak, he is made strong. I'm actually the best version of myself in weakness because that's when his strength shows up in my life. Listen, I don't have the ability to do what God has called me what to do. That is what makes it supernatural because when God does it, no one can take the credit for it because I could do it in my own strength if I wanted to. We have got to learn how to be naturally supernatural. And there's some basic common things that you might think are just mundane things that the church does or talks about, but you didn't realize they're supernatural. So I'm gonna give you some practical things. I like encouraging people, how do you practically walk this spirituality out? So I'm gonna give you a few things on how you naturally walk out the supernatural. I'll give you a few things. Here we go. Number one is you Sabbath. Last week, we didn't have church here in person. We only did it online. We called it a Sabbath Sunday. One of our values of Mercy Culture is health. One thing that we do is every week we Sabbath. So I work on Sundays. I minister and preach and carry this word for you. And so my Sabbath is Monday. Every Monday, I don't do anything. I turn my phone off. I don't return calls. I don't look at emails. I rest. I spend time with my wife. I nap. Praise the Lord. You'll never be more spiritual than when you're napping. Just kidding. Just kidding. Probably when you're forgiving. But Jesus napped all the time. Hallelujah. But we rest, we honor the Sabbath. Here's what the Sabbath is. The Sabbath is supernatural rest, honoring God with worship one day a week. Most people, your Sabbath is Sunday, where you're not working and you're worshiping the Lord. You're enjoying community. Do you know the Sabbath is supernatural? Because here's what it's saying. It's saying God will do more with me working 6 days and taking one day to rest in Him than if I worked 7 days. And a lot of people get this like pride about them, about how hard they work, and they're self-made. Guess what? If you're self-made, it means you've never known the supernatural. Because you made it yourself. The supernatural is what you can't make. Second thing, tithing is supernatural. It's supernatural obedience, trusting God by bringing to His house your first 10% of income that leads to supernatural provision. Tithing is obedience, and it speaks to tithe. The Bible speaks to tithe in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus said to tithe. And then He said, now don't forget even greater or more important things to do. But God, Jesus spoke about tithing. All throughout the Bible, we see this principle, and it's a principle of honoring God with your money. And what happens is He blesses the 90% like it was 100 or even more. When you honor God, now, if I was giving you spiritual advice, I would encourage you not to rob from God in a global pandemic. This would be the season where you would want to obey God, honor God, and practice supernatural tithing. Third one is fasting. We're about to start our fast tomorrow. And I don't know, someone heard from God, because I got a package on my desk for Christmas. I just got here this morning, and there's this box on my desk. And a friend from Wisconsin sent me a Kringle. If you don't know what a Kringle is, go Google it, my friend. But it is a donut of pure goodness that only comes from the Amish country of Wisconsin. And I got this box. I was like, dear Lord, you knew. He knew. An angel must have told him that the fast starts tomorrow, because I'm going to destroy that Kringle today. Listen, no one likes fasting. No one enjoys fasting. And you have to break this thing where you're like, fasting's not for me. Would you quit telling God what is or isn't for you? It sounds pretty natural. It actually sounds carnal. What you say, this is for me. Listen, fasting will do more in doing less than you could ever do on your own. It's supernatural. And here's what it is. You're supernaturally provided for physically as you deny your flesh spiritually. It's an amazing thing. I've been on this journey of fasting for about, I started when I was a teenager, but into aggressive 40-day fast here over the last 5 years. And every single fast is difficult and challenging, and they're hard. But what's amazing is when you're on the fast and after the fast, there is something that happens that is supernatural, that God begins to do things that you can never do. Fasting opens spiritual doors that are impossible to open in the natural. We were a 6-month-old church, and we were growing in hundreds and hundreds of people, and we're in the middle of a high school, and we're renting a high school. And the Lord spoke to me on May 16th of 2018. I was praying at this altar, and the Lord said, I'm gonna give you this place. So I just hid it in my heart, and I didn't tell anyone. And then the first week of August, I got a call from one of our apostolic elders, Pastor Tom Lane of Gateway. And he said to me, the Lord spoke to me this morning. And He told me to tell you, be aggressive about your building. And as soon as He said it to me, the thought went through my head, the most aggressive spiritual thing I know to do is fast. And so I was a little reluctant, because we already did a 40-day fast that year. But I said, we have to fast. And so I went on another 40-day fast. And I walked around this building every single day for 40 days. And when I would get to that part up in the balcony where there's a little carport, I'd kneel down in front of those windows and used to be able to see this American flag that hung right here. And I would get on my knees and I would say the same prayer every day to the Lord. I'd say, Lord, if you give me this place, I'll give it back to you. It'll never be mine. It'll always be yours. And on the last day of the fast, I walked around this building 7 times barefoot with my tallit in bluish afar on every side of the church. You wanna talk about weird? Glad you weren't there at 5:30 in the morning. That'd been a little awkward. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart to do. And so in faith, I obeyed God. 90 days later, we own this building. Watch, I remember telling my wife, Heather, this will take a miracle. Pastor Bob doesn't know me. We're not the same denomination. I can't make this happen. We're a 6-month-old church. How are we gonna afford a $25 million building? How is this gonna happen? This would take a miracle. When I got done with the fast, I turned to Heather and I said, we touched heaven. Church, for me, it was never about a building. For me, it was about we got to the throne room. And as soon as we got to the throne room, I turned to our team and I said, let's do it again. No. It wasn't a one-time access. If God could give a 6-month-old church a miracle building on 17 and a half acres, 2 miles from downtown, 170,000 square foot of building as a 6-month-old church, what could he do? If one guy was fasting for 40 days, what could God do with thousands in a congregation that would begin to petition heaven for Fort Worth, for their families, for America, for revival? What would happen if thousands engaged in the supernatural? The next one's exciting. Thanks, D. Speaking in tongues or praying in the spirit. It's a supernatural language that partners with heaven to build your spirit. Now, I've been teaching and ministering on the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues for over a decade. 1 year, I saw literally thousands, it was probably close to tens of thousands, but I'm a pastor, not an evangelist, so I'm trying not to exaggerate. But I mean thousands, I saw 700 students in one service get baptized in the Holy Ghost. A wave of the presence of God hit and they just all over start speaking in tongues. I mean, everywhere I went, I did an altar call for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I never went anywhere where I didn't see it. And I began to teach on this because one day I asked the Lord, I was writing a message. I said, Lord, how do I hear from you? And all of a sudden he showed me a vision. A vision is a daydream where God speaks to you through daydreams. And he showed me a vision and I saw myself at 16 years old, praying in the Holy Ghost, hearing from God. I saw myself at 18 years old, praying in the Holy Ghost, hearing from God. In my 20s, praying in the Holy Ghost, hearing from God. And I noticed every time I needed to hear from God, I would ask God a question in prayer. I would be praying in the Holy Ghost and God would give me the answer. And I was like, oh my goodness. It's like my spiritual spidey senses are going crazy. I'm like, this is how you hear from God. Then I'm trying to help more people hear from God. Then I noticed when I had anxiety, and anxiety is a form of witchcraft. So when there's witchcraft attacking me and demons attacking me and I can't breathe and it feels like an elephant is on my chest trying to suck the life out of me and I feel fear come upon me and then I would start speaking in the Holy Ghost, it would go away. I was like, it's amazing. What would happen if the church didn't look to doctors to fight spiritual warfare for them? But what if they started, so then I'm noticing that it helps you live in deliverance. And I'm watching God move in all of these things. And then I noticed that everybody hates tongues. You could actually preach false doctrine that people would accept before the doctrine of speaking in tongues, which is so clear in God's word. People act like it's Satan giving a gift, not the Holy Spirit giving a gift. I don't want that gift. I saw a YouTube video. That someone that I've never seen love anyone send me. Right? Listen, I don't need people to tell me how God doesn't move. I want someone who has an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit to tell me how he does. And let me tell you how he does. He does through praying in the Holy Spirit. And guess what? There's an anointing on this house for people to get baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. Guess what? You don't have to go in an altar. We don't have to put you in a back room and scare you. That's not what this is about. People get the baptism in the Holy Spirit all the time. Do you know why? Because he's a good father and he gives gifts to all of his children that just ask. And here's what I heard the Lord tell me yesterday. He said, if you want this gift, you're going to get it this year. And for the 20 people that just went through their mind, I already asked and I didn't get it. Let me tell you again, as a spiritual father, you're going to get it. One of my kids come out of their room and they said, Dad, I'm afraid. I said, no, you're not. No, Dad, I'm afraid. I had a bad dream. No, you're not. Fear, go. Holy Spirit, come in this room. Come in this room. Come with your peace. Come with your love. Come with your power. Come with your fire. Come with your spirit. Listen, fear, you can't be here. Let me father you. You're going to get it. I don't care how many times you prayed before. You've never been in a year of the supernatural before. This is a year where heaven's language is going to pour out of you. This is a year where you're going to speak what you haven't done before. This is a year where you're going to encounter God like you never have before. Healing is supernatural. It's exchanged between heaven's DNA and man's DNA. Don't let the enemy try to discourage you with healing because something didn't happen. Something happened. No, Pastor, they didn't get healed. No, something happened. Well, what happened? You extended your faith. No, your faith had never been there before. Your faith has never pressed through before. Something did happen. You grew. Don't you understand that every time you lay hands on someone, it doesn't matter what happens in the natural, there's supernatural activity taking place. Every time for you asking, Lord, would you give them heaven's DNA? You know the wonderful thing about healing is you don't have the ability to heal. And if we're honest, a lot of times people come and they're believing for healing. And when people go to pray for them, they get nervous because they don't have the ability to heal. You should not get nervous. You should be excited because it means that you're not the healer. You're accessing the healing one through supernatural faith. And God will do what you can't do. And when he does it, only he gets the glory. We're going to see supernatural healings this year. There's going to be supernatural evangelism that takes place this year. Evangelism is supernatural when you introduce the God of the universe, who is your most intimate friend you've ever had, to some stranger. See, some of you don't realize how powerful your testimony is. So the enemy tries to keep you in the bondage of shame to not talk about your past, where Revelation says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. We're going to see supernatural evangelism take place this year. The final one of living practically supernatural is worship is a supernatural interaction with God who is felt but not seen. We're going to go to a greater degree of corporate worship and personal worship this year. Supernatural in the Bible. There are 3 scriptures in the NLT and 10 in the Amplified that speak to supernatural. And typically when I come and bring a topic to you, I'm like, we're talking about righteousness and there's 1,000 scriptures on righteousness. There's 3. I found 3. And when you begin to look at the Hebrew and Greek, which is what the Bible was written in, it's a robust, rich language that supersedes English. And it's so powerful to begin to study it because you can see the richness of the text. One rabbi said it like this, reading the Bible in English is like kissing a woman through a veil. Another description I've heard, it's like looking at a picture only in black and white, that the Hebrew and the Greek give it such beautiful color. So when you begin to look at the scriptures that speak to the supernatural, it all comes down to one word, and that's the word doxa, which if you translate this word, it means glory. When you look at what God's word says about the supernatural, it speaks to the glory of God. When we're talking about the glory of God, we're talking about the weight of his presence. We're talking about his innermost part. We're talking about the heaviness, the power of his presence. It's his nature, his glory. And the crazy thing about his glory is beyond your ability. That's what makes it supernatural, because you were not made for glory. That's why when you begin to give people glory, they begin to explode. They begin to self-destruct. They begin to implode, because no person is made to carry glory. Only he is. This is a year where we're gonna see the glory of God in our lives. This is the year we're gonna see the glory of God in this community. Ephesians 3:20 says this, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more that we might ask or think." Pastor Steve quoted this morning. I want you to make special note of this scripture, because this is the theme scripture of Mercy Culture Church in 2021. It's Ephesians 3:20. Let me read it out of the NLT. It says this, this ESV, "For him who is able to do far more beyond abundantly all that we could ask or think, according to his power," his supernatural power at work within us. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing, but he's actually not writing, he's praying. If you're unfamiliar with Ephesians, Ephesians is a letter to the church in Ephesus. It was the center of Paul's ministry for 3 years. It's where we know as modern day Turkey today. And Paul is writing to the church. And in Ephesians, he's talking about love. He's talking about unity. It's where we learn the full armor of God. He's talking about spiritual warfare. We're gonna talk about that more later this year. But at the height of this message of the book of Ephesians is found in Ephesians 1:10. And it's talking about aligning the purposes of heaven with the purposes of earth. See, when heaven meets earth is where you experience the supernatural. And then Paul in Ephesians 3 begins to pray over the church of Ephesus that they might experience this supernatural work. I'm gonna read it to you again. Here's what he prays, amplified. "Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly more than we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, dreams, according to his power that works in us." Let's exegete this text. "Now to him who is able," stop there. It says him. There's a big difference between what he's able to do and what you're able to do. See, most people get stuck because they have a hard time believing God for things because they view God through the lens as if they were God. And it really is linked to the second commandment of the Ten Commandments: don't make for yourself your own idol. Some people have made their own idol and they still call it Christianity, but it's this religion of how God works according to my understanding. And so we can't comprehend how this is gonna happen because we're not God, and so we forget that he is able. Now, I already did that drastic example of we believe in a virgin's birth, a death and resurrection, and reconciliation back to the Father. So why does our faith stop at salvation? Hear this. If we believe that, how can we not believe this? You believe that he saved all humanity, but you don't believe that he can heal your mom? No. You have to, because the enemy has got in and he has confused the church through a compromise of carnality. And what you don't understand is the whole strategy of the enemy is to remove the faith from God's house and God's people. This is a religion of faith. This is relationship through faith. We are saved by faith. It's not by works. Listen, don't let the enemy steal your faith. Faith is the engagement into the supernatural. Believing God, he who is able. I didn't ask you if you can do it. I didn't ask you if you could figure it out. I didn't ask you if you had the resources. I didn't ask you if you knew what you were doing. I didn't ask you if you had a good enough plan. I asked you who is able. Church, don't be like Zechariah. When an angel walks into your room, you say, how could this be? If an angel walks in your room, you just say, yes, sir. Where? Go. Yes. Yes. Let's do it. He is able. Now him to is able. Watch. To do exceedingly abundantly beyond. Do you know what it means to be exceedingly abundantly beyond? It means it's no longer your plan. Because your plan stopped at my needs met. Your plan stopped at good enough. Watch this. Your plan stopped at, can I just make heaven? If the goal is to hide in your house until Jesus comes back, you missed the point. It's quiet in this spirit-filled church. The point is to get past the biggest, grandest thought, dream, idea, strategy, vision, mission, ministry you could ever think of. And we're living over here in the natural, trying to figure out how we're going to make it. How are we going to get by? Church, how are we going to get by when the Antichrist comes and there's the mark of the beast and you can't even go into the Apple store until you got their mark? How are we going to, what are you going to do when you can't get on an airplane for everybody that doesn't believe in transportation? What are you going to do when you can't fly, when you're on a spiritual no-fly zone? What happens when you can't walk in Costco or any store without the mark and you got to, by faith, go to a refrigerator like a single mom and say, I command there to be manna. I command there to be quail. I command there to be food. In Jesus' name, we have got to be people of faith. I feel the Holy Ghost. Maybe COVID is the best thing that the Church of America has ever seen or known. Maybe you are too comfortable and forgot in a wilderness about who is able, who called you to a promised land and what he called you for. Maybe we got so comfortable in our church that we forgot about the lost. See, what makes it beyond our ability is you can't fathom it. What if I told you that this was going to be a year of the supernatural, that God was going to give you things that were so big it scared you? See, if you got a little dream that excites you, about to start this Facebook ministry. Heather said stop. I'm gonna stop. I got this little dream. Is it exciting? If I could just get some investors. No, the supernatural is what scares you. The supernatural is, should I say this out loud? Should I say it? Who should I say it to? Am I allowed to say it? Should I tell them? I shouldn't tell them. No. You don't be posting about the supernatural. No. This is what it's like. Oh, that better not end up on memes. That's not a meme right there. I'm on to you. I see you in the back room. I see you in that shady mirror over there. I see you over there. No. The supernatural is where the fear of the Lord is at. Bro, it's rescuing more than you could even think about. It's a dollar number that scares you. And you stop saying carnal prayers like, God, I need a miracle or $1 million.
where you just compared $1 million to a miracle. $1 million is not supernatural. It has to be bigger than one person opening their wallet. If it doesn't scare you, it does not scare hell. I'm talking about not dreams of you being famous in Hollywood. I'm not talking about dreams of you starting a business that only provides for your family. I'm not talking about a life that's centered around you. I'm talking about what's beyond you. This isn't about my prepper friends that want to run away and escape anything that comes. I'm talking about the people that want to stand in the fight, that no matter what happens, no matter what happens in the country, no matter what happens in their family, they stand and say, our God is able. Beyond what you could ask or think. I'm talking about dreams that are impossible. I'm talking about dreams that scare you. Joseph had a dream that scared him. But he was so young and immature, he told everybody what scared him. His brothers hated him because his dad loved him more. Because he was born to the wife that his dad Jacob loved the most. You know Jacob, he was the one that wrestled with the angel. He was the one that stole the birthright. He was the one that was Jacob and wrestled with God, got the Jacob out of him, wrestled with Jesus, became Israel, part of the patriarch from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, who became Israel. And then the 12 tribes were those brothers that fought about themselves and were jealous of themselves. And they hated the one that had the most favor. His daddy gave him a coat full of colors. And he wore it and strutted it around. And then he started dreaming God dreams. How do you know they were God dreams? Because you can't give yourself a dream. Your lifestyle can give you nightmares, but you can't give yourself dreams. And in the dreams, the stars and the moon and the sun bowed down to him. You can't make that happen. And he told his brothers his dream. The Bible said they hated him. And then he told his dad. And his dad said, do you think that we're going to actually come down and bow down to you? See, his dad didn't even realize that even by repeating it, he was beginning to partner with it. I'm going to teach more next week on how to partner with the supernatural in what you think and what you look at and what you say. Church matters. So Joseph has this impossible God dream that you can't make happen. But here's the wildest thing is when you can't make it happen, stuff begins to happen. And the people that live in the natural begin to blame God when things start to happen that are supernatural that they don't understand. They begin to rebuke COVID instead of saying, Lord, teach me. Teach me what you're doing. Oh, can I pass to you for a second? People of the natural come up with what they think are big ideas, and then they try to convince God to partner with them. People of the supernatural hear from God, are scared to death, and then begin to participate in His will. Watch, Jesus said, not my will, your will. Let me teach you how to pray. Not my will, your will be done. Listen, not my idea. I need your ideas. Not my plan. I need your plan. Proverbs says a man makes a plan, but his steps are ordered by the Lord. Listen, then things start happening that do not feel like they're according to your plan. So he dreams everybody was going to bow down. And then his brothers grab him and throw him into a pit and sell him into slavery. His brothers disowned him. His brothers betrayed him, then went to his dad and said, hey, a wild animal ate him. It's unfortunate. Here's his robe back. Then they sell him into slavery. And his boss's wife thinks he's attractive and tries to sleep with him over and over and over, but he has too much character to do that. And so he runs away with yet another robe left in someone's hand, and she accuses him of rape. When his boss found out about it, he was so mad he threw him into jail. So now he's in jail for years. What good is a dream from God when you're in jail? Unless the same way that his daddy had to wrestle with an angel to get himself out of himself, that he had to sit in a pit, in a prison, in a jail cell till he got his ambition, his motives, his desire, his self out of himself. He had to get his will out of the way. This was not his plan, but it was supernatural. He then interprets a dream. If that's not enough, the dream got to Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh tells him, tell me what I dreamed. Then he told Pharaoh what he dreamed, then interpreted the dream that he told him he dreamt. It'd be great for you to read all this in Genesis 37 through 45 on your fast. Has this amazing supernatural experience. Then he gets to the place where he's with Pharaoh as the number two in charge, but he really wasn't the number two, because according to scripture, he was the spiritual father of Pharaoh. So he fathered the most powerful man in the world spiritually. The famine came to the land. They're 2 years in. His dad and his brothers were starving to death. So at a last-ditch effort, they went to Egypt to find the food, because Joseph was leading a supernatural revolution. They had nothing to do with Egypt. It had to do with preparing God's people in perfect placement for their destiny. So then his brothers come. Watch this. His brothers come in Genesis 45. This is the reconciliation moment where Joseph begins to tell them who he is. I'm the brother that you sold in slavery. I'm the brother that you betrayed. I'm the one that went down this supernatural road that wasn't fun. It wasn't my plan. But here's what he said. He said it was God's. Genesis 45, verse 4. Look at the text. So Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. And they came near. And he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here. Watch. For God sent me here before you, watch, to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and yet there are 5 years which will be neither plowing nor harvest. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve for you as a remnant on the earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. Hear this, Justice Reformation. Many survivors. So it was not for you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord and all of his house and rulers over the land of Egypt. Hurry up and go get my father. Thus says your son Joseph. Watch. And God made me Lord of all of Egypt. Look at this. Come down to me. Do not tarry. Watch. At that moment, his supernatural dream came to pass. His father said, you think I'm going to come down to you? He said, go get dad. It's time for the dream to come to pass. Come down and let me minister to you. Do you know why most people don't enter the supernatural? Because you think your dreams are about you. When God dreams, you're never the main character. You're just a role player standing in the play of faith. You're just there as an understudy, waiting for someone to abandon the supernatural and remain in the natural. Worship team, come and join me. Something that stood out to me in this text, Genesis 27. I want this up on the screen. Genesis 37:10. This is wild. 11. Look at verse 11. 11. It says, his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept in mind what he said. That word kept in mind in the Hebrew means this: he kept the word in his heart. See, Joseph had a supernatural dream from God, but Joseph was Jacob's supernatural dream. He was the son from the wife he loved most, who finally gave birth. See, Jacob, who wrestled with the angel, who wrestled with Jesus, thought his dream was dead. And when they told him Joseph was alive, he couldn't believe it, because he had determined in his heart his dream was dead. The Lord told me last night that there were going to be in this service today some dead dreamers. That you thought your dreams were dead, but your dreams have been in the process of the supernatural. Beyond your ability to think, beyond your plans, beyond your comprehension. But scripture said this, what's so powerful? He kept the dream in mind. I wonder how many times over those 40 years that Jacob just said, Lord, what about Joseph's dream? What about bowing down? What about the sheaths? What about the stars? Why'd you give him the dream? But what about the dream? Where did the dream go? What happened to it? It was in the realm of the supernatural. And scripture says he kept it in mind, or watch, he kept it in his heart. I want you to begin right now to prepare your heart for a prophetic word. However you do it, everybody's different. But if you lay your hands on your heart, if you put your hands out, if you get on your knees, I don't know what you do, but however you posture yourself to receive, this is a moment to keep a prophetic word in your heart. Jacob carried it for 40 years, but he kept it. There's a prophetic word over this house, which means there's a prophetic word over your house. And when you keep it and you carry it, it means this, that you don't put it down for anything. It means no matter what happens in 2021, you will not pick up doubt and put down this word. You will not pick up fear and put down this word. You will keep it in mind. You will carry it in your heart. The elders gathered at a prayer retreat. We were worshiping on a back porch Pastor Jasmine was leading us in worship. And I heard the Lord say, Mercy Culture Church, 2021 was a year of supernatural growth. I heard in my spirit three things. This is a year that you will experience the supernatural. This is a year where you experience what is bigger than you. This is a year where you will dream dreams that will scare you, and it will rise the Spirit of the Lord in you. This is a year where you will hold things that are bigger than you. This is a year that you will steward things that are impossible. This is a year where you will see exceedingly abundantly beyond what you could ever imagine or think. This will be a year God will speak to you and it will scare you. Some of you will laugh because that's how you only know how to respond to something that's so big and grand. This is a year where you will experience the impossible. This is a year where you will see signs. You will see wonders. You will see miracles. This is a year where you will see the hand of God.
The second thing I saw, put that graphic supernatural up on the screen, is that this would be a year of supernatural personal growth.
I saw you outgrowing where you thought you never could grow spiritually. I saw some of you almost even mocking things in years past, days past, but now you are participating in those things that you once scoffed at. I saw individuals that had lived rebellious lives of sin, and you had squandered like a prodigal son years of wild living. But I saw the Lord this year bringing you to your right mind, and I saw in this year you going back to the Father, and I saw this year something happening inside you spiritually. I saw the Lord healing you. I saw the Lord delivering you. I saw the Lord bringing you out of the place where you were stuck at spiritually. I saw the Lord giving people 10 years back of their life. I saw people that had been in ruts for years spiritually, and I saw them reach a place of supernatural growth where you almost just spurted out of it. It's like it was easy, like you, it's like it was nothing to you. I saw you growing this year beyond what you ever thought you could. I saw this year
a metamorphosis in you.
This year, minds are going to be renewed. There's individuals that have struggled with habitual sins and patterns for decades, and this year, you're going to outgrow the enemy's lies. And the third thing I saw was Mercy Culture Church. We're going to experience supernatural growth. And it scared me at first because we have been growing. But we have spent the last 10 months stewarding a prophetic word, laying spiritual foundation. We have been preparing the foundation for the weight of His glory to rest upon this house. And then the lost are going to be saved. See, it's not going to be growth with other Christians. It's not going to be growth with unbelievers. But there's going to be an anointing of supernatural evangelism that's going to come to this house. We're going to see signs and wonders in the streets. You're going to see people transformed in your neighborhood. You're going to see your prayers being answered on behalf of your friends and family members. I saw this house being filled, but more than the house being filled, the altar was filled. It was filled of the unchurched. It was filled with the lost. It was filled with the broken. It was filled with the prodigals, and they're coming to experience not religion, but a relationship with the supernatural God. This is a year of this supernatural. Turn this microphone up. I heard the Lord say that God is laughing at how big you think your dream is. I heard the Lord say you're not dreaming big enough. Your business plan isn't big enough. I heard the Lord say over this house that your dreams are not big enough. I heard Him say, tell Mercy Culture to start thinking bigger. Start dreaming bigger where it has to scare you, so the fear of the Lord could come upon you. You are big is not big enough. It's not exceedingly abundantly beyond what you can imagine or think.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.